Great singing. I know we've stood a lot tonight. If we could just stand one more time, we'll read one portion of scriptures together. So if you're able, if you're not able to stand, I understand that completely. We're going to read, it's going to be a little unusual. We usually get out of here, I strive to get out of here at 6:15 unless something, you know, has taken the service a little bit longer or whatever. But I try to do that. I know we have the meeting downstairs. I'm going to do everything I can to maybe beat that, but I'm promising everything. But I'm promising we won't go past 6:15, okay? Take that to the bank, unless the bank's closed, and the bank is closed on Sunday. So what we're going to do, it's going to be a little unusual. We're going to read several portions of Scripture, look at three stories, and we're going to make some comments, and I'm going to give you eight or seven quick points, and we're done, okay? But I want you to listen. I want you to get the thought tonight, all right? It's a little different, but I want you to get it. 2 Samuel chapter 15. I'm sorry, I should have told you. You could have already been there. That's my fault. 2 Samuel chapter 15. And we'll read verses 12 to 16. Thank you for your faithfulness in coming to church. Great Sunday night crowd. We're getting through that summertime and getting ready for the fall. I'm excited about the fall. I love the fall. Fall is my favorite part of the year. I kind of like all the parts of the year, but my favorite part is the fall. I kind of like the weather, okay? Although in California, you never know what you're going to get. Hey, we might have something unusual this winter. We might actually have rain, all right? That might just be something. But you know, I love the fall program. I love Friend Day. I love all that stuff. And so, man, I'm looking forward to a great fall, and I hope you are too. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 12, we'll read to 16. And when Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, And behold, he set him up a place and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for loving us. I pray in this short time we have that you'd help our minds to be focused, help us to stay on target, and get the thoughts that you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm sorry, is that 1 Samuel? Did I say 2? It's all good. It is all good. Get over yourselves, people. Whatever. Okay, yeah, all right, John just said, fine, I'm adding 5 minutes. Just kidding. Sorry about that. If I'm hardly ever wrong, but not according to my wife, though. In this story here, the Amalekites were mortal enemies of Israel, kind of just sneaking in and catch them at times when they were weak and going after them. And so God, through Samuel, had told Saul, go eliminate them. And when God says eliminate people, what he means is eliminate them. He said, kill everything. Everybody, all the animals, don't leave anything. And so those detailed instructions came to Saul. It was pretty simple. And so off Saul went and he led the army. He comes back thinking that all is well. And everything was well if you read his testimony in verse 13. He said, Blessed be thou the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. We'll get back to that in a minute. Look over in 1 Kings, okay? If it's not 1 Kings, check 0 Kings, all right? There is no 0 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 13. I'm telling you, we're going to look at three stories. We're going to make some points here. So we're leaving Saul here. Saul did what God told him to do, and he blessed Samuel. Now let's look at another story. I like this story. This story is not as well known. 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse 7, okay? Verse 7 says this, hopefully in your Bible, and the king said unto the man of God, am I right? Amen. There you go, good. I can be trained. And the king said unto the man of God, come with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. Now here's the story. This man of God, unnamed, was sent to prophesy against Rehoboam. And so he is sent to preach against a false altar where Rehoboam is worshiping. He goes there, and Rehoboam's worshiping at this false altar, and the man of God cries against the altar, and guess what happens? The altar splits, and the king gets mad at the man of God. He goes to point to tell his guys to arrest him, and when he points, God shrivels his hand up. And now the king, who was going to have this guy in trouble, asked the prophet, hey, can you get my hand healed? And the prophet says, sure. And the prophet prays, the guy's hand gets healed, and here's what's going on. So the king all of a sudden says, well, wait a minute. I want you on my side. Why don't you come home and take it easy and rest with me, and we'll eat together. Verse 8, and the man of God said unto the king, if thou will give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of God of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way which thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way which he came to Bethel. In other words, God said, go do your job. Don't stop to eat. Don't stop to rest. Don't stop to do anything. And then when you come home, don't come home the same way you went. And so the prophet says, I can't eat with you. Can't do it. Got to go home a different way. Can't eat with you. And off he goes. Verse 11. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also their father. So they go to this old prophet, and they say, hey, this guy did all this stuff. And when the father said, and their father said unto him, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, and came, which came from Judah. Verse 13, and he said unto his son, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. He's going to go catch him. And he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee. Same story here. Nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was told me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way which thou camest. He said, I can't do it. God told me very specifically what to do. Verse 18. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So this man says, God told me to tell you to come back to eat with me through an angel, but he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. So this guy does his job, stands up. The old prophet lies to him. He goes, oh, well, God told me to do this. So they go back and they have a little dinner fellowship together. Now turn to Genesis chapter 4. I'm pretty sure it's the right chapter. Genesis chapter 4. Thanks for staying with me. We'll read these verses. We'll make some comments. After this, we are going to look at a few other verses. We'll look at this story. Genesis chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1. Verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she bare again his brother Abel. So Adam and Eve have two sons, Cain and Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep. He worked with flocks. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. Nothing wrong with that. And in the process of time, it came to pass, verse 3, that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Man, he came and gave God something. He brought offering of his fruit and gave it to God. Verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Let's look up here. So we see that Cain and Abel are there. Now they both bring sacrifices to God. And everything is well. They both bring an offering. Now Cain brought what was natural for him because he was a tiller of the ground. And of course, Abel brought what he brought also. But it does tell us there that God had respect for Abel's offering. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, you know I'm setting you up here. Okay? These are incomplete parts of the story I'm reading to you. But, if we just go by these incomplete sections of the stories, these guys did right. I mean, they both brought an offering, okay? If you listen to Saul, he performed the commandment of the Lord. If you listen to the other guy, he went and cried against a false altar to a king that was worshiping on a false altar, and God used him, and he got to go home and have dinner with the old prophet. All is well. Well, maybe all isn't well. Turn back to 1 Samuel. Got you, didn't I? And let's read a few verses from these stories and let's see if everything was well. Because if you just read them at face value and we don't go any farther, it seems like everything's okay. Everybody's serving God, it's all good. Maybe not. We're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 17. Remember when we left them, everything was all good. Saul was excited about what he did for God. And Samuel said, hang tight. Let me ask God what he thinks about it. I'll get back with you tomorrow, in essence. Well, guess what? Samuel did get back with him. Verse 17. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And that's true. Saul was a very humble man. He was named king, and he went home and still served with his dad. And then when they were anointing him king and they were looking for him, they had a big party and they're going to anoint him king. They couldn't find him. He was hiding in the baggage. Okay, everybody was there at a party. They all put their bags and their stuff. He was hiding there. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. He was very humble, but things have changed. And the Lord, verse 18, sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? You see, he wasn't supposed to bring anything back. He was supposed to get rid of all of it. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Now, wait a minute here. Now, if you listen to Saul, all is well. Didn't God say kill everybody? Especially the king. Verse 21, but the people, now he's blaming people, but that's a message for another day. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. And then he gets spiritual here, to sacrifice unto the Lord God in Gilgal. Now, I know we didn't kill them all, but you know what? We're going to sacrifice them to God. Okay. Verse 22, let's see what Samuel and God thinks about that. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? And by the way, God does want offerings and sacrifices, but not now, not in this situation. As in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. No matter what Saul said, God saw what he did as rebellion and incomplete obedience, because he didn't do everything God said. Now, if you listen to Saul, all is well. I'm serving God. We're sacrificing to God. We've utterly destroyed everybody except for the people we didn't want to destroy. Sounds like he was serving God, but God's estimation was different. Very different. God saw it as actually witchcraft. You know, witchcraft is doing your own thing. We think of Satanism and witchcraft as a pentagram and sacrificing kittens and doing all that garbage. People do that, but that actually gives Satan a bad name. Satan's doctrine has always been, you decide what you want to do, not God. It's always been Satan's doctrine. That's why it's called witchcraft. Anyhow, we must hurry. Turn to 1 Kings. Turn back to 1 Kings. We're going to look now at the old prophet, the man of God. Last we saw, they were having a party. I mean, the old prophet, here comes the new man of God, the old prophet, man, and they're fired up about what God did. Boy, God showed Rehoboam who was in charge. Boy, God really used you. But we're going to read some verses, and we're going to see that the dinner fellowship did not go as planned. There's a little hitch in the giddy-up. Let's look at verse number 20. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back, the guy that lied. Verse 21, and he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord. By the way, now he's not lying, all right? For as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandments which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and water and drunk water in this place, of the which the Lord did say unto thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the sepulcher of thy fathers. And if you know the rest of the story, as soon as he left, a lion found him and killed him. Why? He disobeyed God. Oh, but wait a minute. The prophet, the old prophet said that an angel told him that God said, it's okay, let's have dinner together. I mean, after all, can't you trust a prophet? I mean, after all, you know, he's a Christian too. I don't think so. Oh, let's look at one more. Genesis chapter 4. Say, what are you getting at? I'm going to tell you what I'm getting at. This little phrase like, well, here's a phrase you hear from people when they do something silly. But so-and-so is a Christian and they. That's where we're going tonight. We're there already. But so-and-so goes to this church and their church. That's where we're going. Let's look at Cain and then we'll make some thoughts here. Look at chapter 4 again. You're probably already there. Verse 5. Now, at last we left. They both brought a sacrifice. It was all good. But, you know, they both had a party for the Lord, and Lord, I'm giving you this, and I'm giving you that. And God had respect unto Abel's, and he was kind of quiet until you get to verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. What was Cain's reaction? And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. By the way, let me just explain something. That's a bad reaction to God. Okay, it's a bad reaction. Now, if you want to get upset at one of these guys, you want to get upset at somebody else, have at it. Do not get upset at God. God is never the problem, okay? And when God tries to correct us, we ought to just take it. Cain did not do very well. Verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? He says, what are you mad about? I can see it on your face. I'm translating here from the Hebrew. That's what his countenance, his face. Your countenance has changed. You know, you ever see, and I used to love being youth director, Brother Ross. I'm so glad it's you, though. And the teenagers, some teenager would do something silly, and I knew the truth, and I'd call them in the office. How's everything? Oh, yeah, everything's great. Everything's wonderful. Hey, I heard you did this. And then their face was like yeah. Why is your countenance fallen? Because I know what you did, all right? Trust me. I can't find my kid. We had one time where Chase, their kids, they were all down at the pool hall. The parents were like, oh, kids down at the pool. I said, I'll take care of it. That was fun. That was actually kind of fun. So I drive down there in my van. I go, hey, what are we doing? They're like, get in the van. You're all going home. Amen? Miss those days. But that was Cain. His face just fell. Verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And it shall, and unto he shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel's brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel's brother and slew him. But wait a minute, I thought Cain loved God. He brought an offering. Yeah, it wasn't the one God wanted, was it? And then he had a bad spirit. All these men we looked at, we've looked at four. We looked at Saul, man of God. We looked at the old prophet. We looked at Cain. All four of them. They all said the right things in some point. Or they either said the right things, they professed to believe the right things, they offered themselves, their service, and their sacrifices to God. But yet when God looked at them, he didn't have a very good view of them. What was the consequences of all this? Well, if we know our Bibles, Saul, of course, because of all the nonsense he was doing, he lost the kingdom. The kingdom should have went to Jonathan and on down through Jonathan, but you know what? He wasn't what he thought he was, and God stripped it from him and gave it to David. The man of God, he loses his life. He becomes lion bait because he didn't listen. The old prophet got somebody killed. Somebody he probably respected. He was probably a little excited when he heard. Now, why in the world he would lie just to get the guy to have dinner with him? And then Cain, worst case scenario, he go ahead and just kills his brother. He's a murderer. The point I'm making tonight, and I already told you, we judge Christianity too much by what other Christians do. Let me rephrase that. We excuse what we want to do based on what other Christians do. That's the message tonight. But he's a Christian, and he does this. That's very dangerous, by the way. Very, very dangerous. I'm tired of hearing it. But so-and-so's a Christian, or this church does that. Let me give you, from these stories, I believe it's 7 or 8 quick points, and we're done. We're right on target. Stay with me, and it all is well. Number one, it's not what a person says, but what they do. That's the line. Everybody in America's a Christian. Our country is in pathetic shape because of people who say they're Christian but don't live like they're a Christian and don't act like they're a Christian. They're no different. It's not what a person says, it's what they do. Don't be fooled by what a person says just because they are saved or they claim to be saved. It doesn't mean what they're doing is right. Look at Matthew chapter 7. We'll look at one more verse. If we have any other verse, I'll quote them to you. But this is a little section I want you to see. Matthew chapter 7. By the way, God judges us or by our actions, what we do. Okay? Jesus said, if you love me, what? keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, every now and then go to church and hug each other and sing Kumbaya. But the rest of the week, you can do whatever you want. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen.
The proof is in what we do. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Well, you know, I know this person, and they say they're a Christian that does that, and I kind of want to do that anyhow, so it's going to be okay. By their fruits you shall know them. You know, it's better. Let's be up practical and honest here. It's better for our sports teams to play unsafe schools than it is to pay people who say they're Christians and don't live like they're Christians. They don't have any of our beliefs. They got this false kind of Christianity. Just come to church on Sunday. Do whatever you want the rest of the week. I'm under grace. It doesn't matter. Because our kids are going to say, well, look at these people. Look when they're coming in. They're all, the boys and girls are all over each other. And they say they go to a Christian school. So they must be Christian. So it must be okay. Listen, when unsaved kids come through the door, we know they're unsaved. And we know they're just going to act like unsaved do. And we're going to be a good witness to them. But let the same group come in and say they're Christians. They got all their music and all that nonsense going on. It's like, well, it's okay because it's not what they say, it's what they do. By their fruits you know them. He says, not verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Let me quote a verse to you from Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? You know, I just have a stinking suspicion God wants to know. God wants us to prove it. Oh, does that mean we're perfect? Absolutely not. We're nowhere near going to be perfect. But you know what it means? We're striving. And we're not going to excuse when we do wrong by saying, God doesn't care. It's not what a person says. It's what a person does. You say, but I don't see the consequences of their action. It's going to come. Just because it doesn't come right away, don't worry about it. It may show up in 5 years. Oh, but I know this. You know, at that high school, it's a Christian school, they're allowed to date. We're not that Christian school. And we're never going to be that Christian school. If that's what you want, go there. Not going to do it. Now, but you know, they get to, and they can go out alone and they ain't doing it. We're not doing it. We want to be careful, okay? And you young people, you quit looking at people who say they're Christians and they act like knuckleheads. And I know you say, I'm not trying to be a broken record here, but it makes me sick to my stomach. You get on, you're like, oh, I love God on your little Instagram, and then you put garbage on there. That's ridiculous. Man, you give Jesus a bad name. You understand that. Look. Be honest. If you're going to put garbage on some dumb social media thing, take the fact that you say you're a Christian off of there.
Amen. Good.
Number two. I'm feeling okay now. We're good. We're right on target. We're getting out of here. Number two. It's not what we think about our Christian life, but what God thinks. Why? Because, see, we're human and we're frail, and our flesh wants to give us a break. So we're not going to think sometimes, what does God think? What does God think about it? We are not smart enough as humans to put in place a morality system that is right. We need something outside of ourselves to put a morality system that is right. God did that. That's the Bible. That's why our society is in a mess. They don't like to hear this, but our country was founded on biblical principles. And even those that may not have been Christians still followed the principles, the morality of the Bible. They would have saw the stuff that's going on. Look, if our founding fathers saw what was going on today in our country, they would have a conniption fit. They would probably rewrite all our founding documents to try to fix things so it can't slip in. Little did they know we'd get a president that thinks he could change those things. But we need some morality. It's got to come from somewhere. Where does it stop? Marriage has been redefined. And if you don't believe that a woman or a woman could get married, or a man or a man can be married, that's discrimination. Ask those same people if they think it's okay for two women and two women and two men to get married. All four together. Or one man and three women. Or three men and one woman. They'll say, well, no, well, they're discriminating then. Because once you take the definition of marriage away, everything's open or it's discrimination. There's got to be a morality somewhere, and I don't know how we get off on that. But it's not what we think about our Christian life. Well, I'm living the kind of Christian life so-and-so who says there are Christians living, so it must be okay. I don't care what so-and-so thinks. I don't care what you think. And to be honest with you, I don't care what I think. What does God say? That's where we line it up, right there. Okay? That just keeps everything where it should be. Number three, it's not who others say they are, but what God says we're to be. You know what? Here comes the man of God, and the prophet says, I'm a prophet too. If he was a prophet, he was barely a prophet. How would you like a prophet that lies? I mean, just blatantly gets up and lies. You know, God, I had a thought today. God just told me something. By the way, when someone says God spoke to them, ask them this. What verse was that? And by the way, we'll throw this in. I don't even know if it's in notes later. You that want to follow Christians and think everything's okay, ask that Christian you're following, do you get up every morning and read your Bible? Did you spend time in prayer? Are you trying to be a blessing to somebody today? Or you just get up and like, I'm living the life. Let me go do what I want to do. You might want to check that out. It's kind of a big deal.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Let's just follow the Bible. By the way, if I wanted to, I could find all kinds of pastors that do all kinds of weird stuff and say, well, I'll do that in this church. After all, so-and-so is a pastor. I told you about the pastor in Long Beach. I read his little webpage, and his hobby is he likes to kick back, take it easy with the beer in his hand. I think that sounds good. But he's a pastor. I wouldn't go to his church. He obviously doesn't have a Bible. It's pretty clear in the Bible about drinking. And I don't care. I'm not going to excuse it because some pastor gets up. Well, you know, you could drink in moderation. Can I just tell you something? There's no way to start drinking in moderation. You can't. You can drink as long as you don't get drunk. Listen, you're not talking to a choir boy. Okay, I didn't get saved right with God until I was 17. I've been around the block. You can't even start to drink without having it affect you. So if that's the rule, go for that, because you can't even take one drink. It's ridiculous. Okay, thanks for sharing. Is that a personal testimony? That's one church I know. Big church. I mean, big. This guy's got national influence, and they have a pub at their church. A pub is another name for a bar. And they like to get together and hang out in the bar and drink and talk Bible doctrine. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's good. We ought to try that. Here's a classic one. Because, you know, when you're in church, you know, you get all these advertisements from all these knuckleheads because it's a church. Let's just send it to them. One of them advertised their Christmas cantata. You know, we have Christmas cantata. Here's their Christmas cantata. They're going to sing Beatles songs. Yeah, Beatles songs. Here was their advertisement. It said, come celebrate Christmas with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Ringo, George, and Paul. The Beatles. That is blasphemous. What do those, by the way, those men were godless. They were godless. You think of some of their songs, and I hope you don't know them, but I do, because my wife listens to them. Their songs, there's a song Imagine. You know what it's talking about? There's no God, there's no heaven, there's no hell, everything's better. George Harrison was a heathen. My Sweet Lord, that's nothing more than a Hindu song. They're all, and you're going to bring these guys' music into your church? We don't look at what other pastors are doing unless they're doing something godly and it's like, hey, that's a good idea. to say, I'm going to do it because that pastor did it. What's right? 5 minutes left, number four. It's not what someone says is right, but what we know God declares is right. The old prophet said, you know what? An angel came and told me the word of the Lord. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. The man of God said, the word of the Lord came directly to me. If I have a word of the Lord, I don't need you to butt in. An angel? Really? No. God spoke directly to me. I don't think he changed his mind. Where did God change his mind? We fall for that. You know what? The Bible says there's nothing wrong with that. We had a couple about a year and a half ago. They were coming to our church, and they met with me in the office and said, you know, I don't think we're going to go here. We have nothing against you. There's just some beliefs here that, you know, that we don't hold to. I'm like, well, that's up to you. That's fine. We still love you. And they mentioned a belief and said, that's not in the Bible. You know, it's just kind of a, I said, well, actually it is. You might want to read it. He goes, well, I was told it wasn't. I said, it is. And I gave him the place where it was. And he's like, wow, it is. Yeah, it is. Who are you listening to? It's not in the Bible. Yeah, it is. We're not just making up stuff here. Where were we at? Number five? I got to really hurry. It's not what we give to God, but what he wants us to give to him. You know, Cain gave what he wanted to give. God obviously wanted an animal sacrifice. And he obviously didn't want to give it. He obviously must have known if God had respect unto it. But even if he did, when God said, hey, I respect yours and not yours, he should have said, whoops, he wants that one. Let me give him that one. You know what we do? We say, God, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll serve you, but I'm going to serve you my way. I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to live the Christian life, but I'm going to give you the Christian life I want to live. I want to be able to say I'm a Christian, but I want to dangle my feet in the world. Can I just tell you something? That don't work. The Christian life was never designed to be lived correctly, half-heartedly. God wants all of it. It's not going to work. Well, that's what I'm going to give God. Okay, but you know what? It's not about what you want to give. It's about what God asked for. But that's how we are. Number six. It's not who we think somebody is, but who God really knows that they are. Now, I'm going to introduce a new character here. We won't turn to scripture, but I'm talking to you about Judas Iscariot. Do you know Judas Iscariot had a good reputation? He was respected among the disciples. In fact, the night that Jesus was betrayed, he said, one of you in here is going to betray me. They asked him who, and he told them who. The guy that dips. Guess who dipped? Judas. They should have all known. And yet Judas does the thing that Jesus said the guy who's going to betray him does, and then he gets up and walks out. 2 + 2 usually equals 4. And they're like, oh, he's going to get some more food or something because he carries the bag. He had them so fooled and had so much respect, even when it was obvious it was him, they didn't get it. Don't let people fool you. By the way, can I just tell you, I have met people, give me 2 extra minutes. I have met people that talk the spiritual talk. We had a guy one time, this is many years ago. He wasn't from our church, but there was something he was helping us deal with. And this guy had the spiritual talk. Brother, you know, he had that kind of voice that I really don't. And everything was, brother, this. I found out that he was immoral with somebody. Somebody I knew, wasn't anybody in our church. It was kind of more of a distant family situation. I called him. Brother, how you doing? I'm like, hey, doc, did you do this? And all of a sudden, dude, don't be getting on me. I did not. It's like, whoa. He snapped right back into punk mode. I said, what happened to brother? I said, man, you got busted. It's God knows who they are. And by the way, he's letting you know who they are. I don't care how much they say they love Jesus. Let's just get together. I mean, I had cappuccino with the Apostle Paul yesterday. If their life doesn't match up, don't excuse it. I'm not saying be mean to people. I'm just saying let's quit judging our life by what other people who say they're Christians do. And it's a scourge in our society. You college kids or you kids that are of that age, quit going a bad direction because you heard some cool cat pastor that does garbage that your flesh wants to do, and so you want to follow that direction. Number 7. This is the last one. It's not whom we decide to follow, but whom God demands us to follow. I'm going to introduce another character, Jesus Christ. That's the person we follow. Okay, I know this. Jesus is always right on. He's always spot on. He ain't going bad. I got guys, fellow classmates I went to Bible college with. They don't believe anything like us anymore. They are, some of them are off in left field. I love them. I have nothing against them. That's between them and God, but I ain't going there. But Jesus is always spot on. Let's just follow him. Let's just stay in the book. Let's just have our, like we talked about the last couple weeks on Sunday morning, let's be connected to God. And let's not judge our Christianity by what other people do. Because usually you're not judging your Christianity by what others do. You're excusing your actions or giving approval to what you want to do based on what other Christians do. Does it line up with Scripture? If it doesn't, I don't care who does it. That's between them and God. I'm not going to fight them unless they try to bring it into this church. Then we're going to have a brawl. It ain't coming into this church. Okay? But as long as they can want to do whatever they want to do, that's between them and God. And to be honest with you, it's none of my business. By the way, be careful who you're following. You say, I know these people aren't the right kind of Christians, but you follow them on all your social media. What are you doing? They're influencing you. You can't help but see those pictures of them having a good time somewhere they shouldn't have a good time and think, I'd like to do that. Listen, I don't hear rock music and say, that's garbage. I like it. Be honest with you. My flesh still says, it's on. But my spirit knows that's garbage. So I avoid it. Be very, very careful. What I'm saying is, why don't we just love Jesus and follow him? That's all I'm saying. Said, but I have a friend, they kind of went the wrong direction. You know what? Be loving and kind to them. Pray for them. Don't follow them. Encourage, and if they want to come, get them to church. Get them going the right direction. But I'm just telling you, there's a train wreck down the rat. It may be 2 years down the line. It may be 4 years down the line. It may be 6 years. There's a train wreck down there. But you know what? When you follow Jesus, there's never a train wreck. It's always good. So let's just follow him. Let's all bow our head and close our eyes.